Hello, everybody. Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're going to talk about swimming. And this one is swimming, you know, in preparation of all the other things that you have to do for special ops type programming. Obviously, you don't need to be a world-class swimmer to go into special ops, no matter what special ops that is, but you need to be comfortable in the water. And this is one of those ways whenever you are burning the candle at both ends. You may be working all day, going to school all day, and then you're training at night or first thing in the morning, and you know your sleep's a little bit jacked up and you're just tired. You know, middle of the week, you're just tired. So Jeff has a great saying, and it is, if you're going to be tired in the pool. Yep. So, you know, take that as like a recovery day, or you could also end every workout in the pool as a recovery session. So, Jeff, what would you recommend as your recovery day when you're just, like we said, burned out, you don't feel like doing anything, and yep. You know, but you feel guilty because you're skipping a workout that you know you should be doing? What's kind of the go-to when you're in that zone?
Yeah, what I do is then you can kind of double up that recovery mentality with skill acquisition, and that's where a lot of times swimming kind of – people lose the sight that swimming is a very technical sport, as opposed to just like, oh, I got to swim for time and distance. So, and that can be a little bit daunting for someone. It's like, oh, well, you know, I should be swimming, you know, a mile or two today or whatever it may be. And they just, like Stu said, just really super tired. So then I go, all right, well, you know, let's say that they haven't done any resistance training that day. And it's really, there's like, oh, I'm going to get in the pool because my body isn't feeling right under load. Okay. So we get them in the pool, and instead of, again, just swimming time and distance, we say, all right, well, let's look at everything except the stroking and kicking. It was like, people are like, what does that mean? That's all swimming. No, it's not. Swimming is, how do you make your turns? Okay. Do you go into the wall slow? Because if you go into the wall slow, you're going to come off the wall slow. It's Newton's law. Okay. Even hydrodynamics, still Newton's law is applied.
Yep.
Okay. Also, are you a curb? Are you a gutter grabber? Do you grab the gutter, pull yourself, and then you go into a turn? Well, what if you look at swimmers, competitive swimmers, they don't grab the curb, the gutter. They palm it, they pop it, they hit, their hand is actually never comes out of the water. Like, that's why most swim pools on their lanes have a cross at the top. Cross. That cross is a hand target. That's what that's there for. So you basically stiff arm it like your football. You come off the wall, and that gives you a chance to really push off the wall. Okay. People don't oftentimes, they people gasp when they swim because they don't fully expire what's in their lungs.
That's right.
They try to expire and breathe in the same breath. So there's all these sort of things that people are like, oh, no one's ever told me that. Well, that's what we're telling you now, because swimming is a highly skilled sport. And if you start picking up on these three to five, again, we'll go over them as we go, but if you start dissecting swimming down, just like you do Olympic weightlifting or baseball or whatever it is, you know, obstacle course is one obstacle at a time, and each one is to test a different or similar skill. Swimming's the same way. And if you go in there working on a skill like, oh, I'm going to work on my turn, just you walk off the wall 10 feet, swim nice and hard in, boom, hit the wall, push off, glide, stand up, repeat. You do that a handful of times, right, for example. Swimming isn't just time and distance, and that's where trying to get you, number one, when you're really tired, you can still acquire skill. And if you are tired, truly tired, physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, and you're able to do something like this that is of high skill, your body will actually retain that information. So it basically, when I say tired, it's a form of stress. When you're able to learn under stress, your body will learn, it will completely reboot your system if you can learn a skill well. And that's why, that's the entire name of the special operations community, is train way up here, simulate as much stress as you can. Your body learns that process really, really well if it's done accurately.
Yeah.
We've got to teach swimming like that. And so,
yeah. And eventually you won't even have to think about it.
Yep.
You know, that's what your nervous system does. It just becomes a thing that you do.
So if we look at the average person, that everyone pretty much is swimming the PST. There might be a couple that are in 50-meter pools, but typically you're in a 25-meter or 25-yard pool. That's 20 times you're going to touch the wall.
Yep.
So, for example, if we stop grabbing the gutter for 20 lengths, and we just palm it, pop it, and turn and push, glide, and go, you're going to drop probably without even swimming any harder than you ever have, you're probably going to drop 20 seconds off your swim.
Yep.
Like, on average, you have to grab it, pull, turn, push, yeah. kick. You know what I mean? You should have already taken that big breath, before, you know, 10, 12 feet out, that big expire, big breath, swim hard, hit the wall, turn, push, go, glide. Now you breathe again. You should be breathing going into the wall at once. So here's the wall. Here's the point of breath going in. You should be breathing here, go into the wall, come off the wall, breathe where you breathe on the way out.
Yep. And after kicking off that wall, you will never be faster than those first few moments kicking off that wall. So stay streamlined. Stay streamlined for as long as you can. You start losing your momentum. Throw a double arm pull in there, recover, boom, come up to breathe. And now you still, you know, in a 25-yard pool, you can be borderline halfway across the pool if you do it well.
For sure. So we got it. We want you guys to start. And then so we're talking it sounds like some fairly aggressive training, even when you're tired, but it's really not because we're not going, off the wall, stop. It's off the wall, push, glide, work, feel. Okay, stand up, stop.
Really. Rest.
Rest.
Yeah, you can tread water. You know, rest by treading water. There's another skill.
Yep.
You need to do. So
there's a couple things. If you look at swimming specifically, like if you look at an Olympic swimmer, when they come off the wall, even on the backstroke, they're not belly down or belly up. They have turned.
Yep.
You're more hydrodynamic on your side, especially with fins. Okay. So turning yourself so come off the wall, turn and stay at a 30-degree angle or so, you're going to be faster. Also, you're going to be able to cheat that breathing shoulder.
Yep.
So you're not, because what we don't want to do is be here, and then as we rotate our entire body, our feet begin to separate. We don't want the feet to separate when we go into rotation. So if I'm already turned and I can go breathe, now I can go straight into my scissor kick, because I don't want to rotate and then open my feet. They'll fly. It's like a rotating swing set's going to swing out.
Yeah, you got to try to keep your ankles behind you, because that's part of the streamline.
You should be able to touch your metatarsals, your big toes, the instep of your big toes, bones. That's when the swimming term is called keep your feet behind you. Because that's the next step is if your feet aren't behind you, when you breathe, you always turn the way you breathe. Mm-hmm. And that's because your feet are in front of your torso.
Yep.
They're dangling. You go kick, you scissor, and they're just kind of floating, but they're in front of you. If your glutes are engaged, your feet fall behind you and you swim straight. And that's really important in the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can add a lot of distance when you're swimming with fins in open surface, open water, when you don't have a black line to look rudder. At.
Yeah. If you teach yourself to keep your feet in front of you without fins, when you put fins on, it's going to turn you like 40% more because your feet are in front of you.
Yep.
Okay. It's just going to turn you towards your nose. If your feet are in front of you, if you always find yourself turning towards your breathing side, towards your nose, your feet are in front of you.
Yep. You'll swim like this.
Constantly in a big turn.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's one of those things we go, huh, I wonder why my mentors never taught me this. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I know they do have some really good swim instructors at Pre-Buds now. And most of them aren't SEALs. They're actually collegiate swim instructors teaching a lot of things. And, you know, some of them, you know, are probably, you know, teaching kids who have no swimming experience whatsoever other than, you know, swimming 500 yards for a timed swim, some skills that may or may not apply to you at Buds. But at the same time, they're going to teach you how to be streamlined. They're going to teach you how to pull. They're going to teach you how to kick efficiently, all of those things. So treading water, once again, Jeff talks about treading water all the time and just practicing your kick, you know, either a breaststroke kick, an egg beater kick, scissor kicks. I tend to do all of them.
Yeah, because it's like a kicking mud. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I mix them all in. I'll start off with a scissor kick left, scissor kick right, for about 5 minutes, and then I'll do some breaststroke for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then I'll throw in some egg beater. I'll throw in some little flutter kicks, which are exhausting when you do that, but it loosens my hips. And usually on days when I'm really, really tired, for me, I feel it in my hips now. Yep. It's like, especially in high mileage running or heavy lift cycles, it's just my hips kind of bother me. So taking this recovery day and just being in the pool, working on skills and drilling all these little other skills, is a good way to recover from, the things that are hurting you, which for me, hips, lower back, hamstrings.
Yep.
Exactly. Things. And treading.
And that's the thing with swimming, being vertically load, vertical in the water or good horizontal in the water, right? We've got that good spinal compression and glute activation. So you're actually going to alleviate a lot of back pain as well, because you become, this only is going to happen more if this happens. The most common mistake in swimming is this, is that swimming is a pull dominant. People are pull dominant, hand and arm dominant. And it's so fatiguing. And you're like, oh, well, that's where people are always like, well, if you do the breaststroke, it's going to be tiring for the – no, it's not. It's because the breaststroke is kick dominant. The freestyle is kick dominant.
Yep.
Dolphin kick is super dominant.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you find yourself – because a lot of people too, see a lot of people when they go to the big scissor kick, big hand pull, their feet are behind them doing this. They're just kind of fluttering a little bit, like just dangling in the water. They should pull together and they should snap. The feet should stay. And the moment you feel that water on you slow down, you're at it again. Bam.
Yep.
Kick. Yep. So people are so lat and pull dominant, right? You get out of the water and your arms are like, God, they're huge, right? They're
right,
so
flat. Right.
You should feel that in your glutes and hamstrings, not in your arms.
Right.
So, and that's the biggest problem with people is they learn to pull before they kick, because your cadence should be set off your kick, not your pull. You should be able to kick, 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 and you fit your pull into it, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And that's most people's issue, is they're pull dominant and the kick is secondary.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, most people who aren't competitive swimmers are probably going to be pull dominant more than anything, even though they might be great runners. They might be great soccer players, whatever, and got a great leg base. They just may not know to be more kick dominant. And I tell you where it affects you. It affects you on the rest of your PST.
Yep.
Because if you're pulling like that, I mean, I've seen wrestlers who couldn't swim, take the PST and it could crush everything past the PST beyond you crazy numbers, 120, 130 push-ups, 120 sit-ups, 30 pull-ups, 8:30 run on an easy day. But then that swim just crushes them, and then they got nothing left.
Yep.
And it's, and that's where stroke efficiency comes in. And this is a really good day to work on your stroke efficiency as well. So, instead of swimming 15 strokes to get across the pool, see if you can cut that in half. And work on your glide. Don't over glide to where you lose all your momentum. But that big top arm pull, that big kick and glide. Hold that glide out for a couple seconds before you feel you lost all your momentum. You got to start that stroke again.
And the thing too is when you are pull dominant. So when you're pool dominant, we'll call the white your feet. When you're pull dominant, your hips are below your hands.
Yeah.
Right. And it would be a reason why is because when people become pull dominant on the side stroke, they toy soldier it. They go hand straight to a butt cheek, and because that's to lift their head. They don't roll.
Yeah.
Right. And so the solution is this. Instead of the feet don't drop and they just go arm to the side and they pick their head up out of the water to breathe. If you reach, your body will naturally rotate to breathe.
Yep.
So people cut themselves short. They go into a shrug and they pull, right? When you go kick and you actually reach like you're reaching for a wall, it forces you to rotate, and that's how you can breathe. Now you're no longer lifting your head.
Yep.
So there's these are commonalities in non-competitive people or swimmers. So there's always typically it's all of these things somebody experiences.
Yeah.
And then what you do is if you just get typically. if you get someone that's athletic, but they're just kind of struggling with their swimming, it's just typically it's a timing thing. It's not that they can't swim. They just haven't established their timing and cadence. Right. When they do that, all of a sudden they're just
– Yep, it all fits in. Off. And then once you got the stroke down, I usually see what people can do in 50 yards, right? And I multiply it by 10. I said, all right, so you did that 50 yards in 48 seconds. That's pretty good. That means if your conditioning is good enough, you should be able to handle an 8-minute swim.
Yep.
You know, 480 seconds is 8 minutes. So now we got to get your conditioning so you can handle 48-second laps.
Yep, you can maintain that.
10 times.
Yeah, and it's, again, here is where size definitely helps. And this is – size definitely doesn't help you. It doesn't necessarily hinder you running. Size is a big advantage in the water. And I'm here to tell you that a 150-pound person that's really good at kicking – compared to a 180-pound person or 70 that can really kick, ain't no way that person's keeping up with 170-pound. Because that's the thing is, like, again, one of the guys that's been my online client that's trained here in person, he was a former bodybuilder. He's down to 240 now. He never had swam at all and then started trying to learn on his own a year ago, 6 months ago, came out here. We spent 4 days in the pool, and he's a sub-8-minute swimmer now.
Nice.
They just got big old legs, right?
And that helps.
And he knows how to use them, right? Yeah. And that's the other side, too, with swimming is people don't use fins nearly enough this is the biggest reason why is this. There's a lot of reasons why it helps, but this is the number one reason is because if your feet are in front of you, I've already mentioned with fins on, you know right away that you're turning. Yeah. With fins, it forces you, once you to get the rhythm, you have to have your feet behind you with the fin. And you have to glide. You have to be rigidly soft, right?
Yeah.
So a fin will teach that. And like Stu and I were talking about off camera is that the other big, big reason to do this when you're tired, to just get in the water when you're tired, use it as a recovery tool, use it is because water, like this, as the saying goes, I think frogman always keeps the ocean to his back. You always want to be comfortable. If nothing else, you should be able to get into pretty much any body of water aside from like extremely cold or dangerous, whatever it is. But you should be able to jump in the ocean, a lake, a river, whatever it is, and go, all right, relax, stay in control, know where my body's at. Like it's getting in the water when your nervous system is pretty pooped. Getting in your water and letting when your nervous system's like, oh God, what's it gonna do? And you get in the water and go, you start working through some skill.
Yeah.
Your body goes, wait a minute, this water thing isn't so bad. And then it's what ends up happening. And Stu and I were talking offline is what happens a lot with his guys is they're pretty pooped. They get in the water, they do a little bit of skill work, they do a little treading, they do just it, and all of a sudden everyone's always relaxed and they go, all right, man, let's swim a 500. Everyone's like, well, that's crazy. I'm super tired, but they're like, man, I feel great.
Yep. Second wind.
And they're like, oh, so here's a little secret. I have only told this to my clients that I've done in person. So I'm going to give you a little secret here that 100% will work every time. When you show up to Buds, and Stu may have done this before, and there's guys that figure this out. And when they do it, Buds, you share it. I didn't share it at first. And then they figured out, they thought I was crazy when I did it. And then they realized, holy shit, that worked. And then everyone started doing it. So when you line up for your inspection, right? You got your knife in one hand or whatever, and your mask and everything, and you got your fins in the sand the perfect way, and they go down and they throw you, yeah, it's good. They send you and your swim buddy out, and that buoy is, what, maybe 200, 300 meters off the coast.
Right.
What your goal is to do is when they say get in the surf, right, you get your stuff on, get your fins in your, waist-deep water, whatever it is, and you are going to swim as fast and as hard as you can. Your goal is to get to the front of the line to where you get your swim inspection first so you can get in the water fast. And you swim as fast as humanly possible from zero to as max effort or close to it to that buoy. Your heart rate drives through the roof, okay? But then you're in the water treading, getting used to it, and everyone's starting to filter in. What happens is you force that oxygen debt your body starts slamming out oxygen, saturating the hemoglobin. Your heart rate comes down. Everyone gets online. You've already primed. It's like a drag. What they do is, pull a funny car up to the line. They burn the tires, get everything hot, and they back it up, and they race.
Yeah.
So you force your body to consume a higher rate of oxygen before you even swim, which is why if you go to the Olympics, right, in the most recent, there's a warm-up pool, there's the race pool, and there's a cool-down pool of a different temperature. So if you watch an Olympic swimmer before they race, they are swimming their ass off for short periods because they're just trying to drive oxygen consumption up before they get on the blocks, which is also why you see – sometimes you can see the cameras – they're like before they come out and they're announced, they're like vigorously moving their arms, just throwing blood into their fingers or vigorously trying to get their heart rate up. So their body goes, consume oxygen, consume oxygen. But the workload isn't very high. So but when they're as soon as they go off the starting blocks, they've saturated their hemoglobin and their red blood cells with oxygen. And now you're ready to roll. You're going to get through that oxygen debt much, much faster, or oxygen deficit.
Yeah.
So you can come out of the gate and sustain it much faster.
That is a great physiology lesson there.
Yeah.
For everybody too.
It's trick, because you guys have all experienced it. So you guys, you know, put your running shoes on, headphones in, you go out of your house and you go for a run and you're like, in like 6 or 7 minutes in, you're like,
yeah, everything.
Get your second, because your Krebs cycle's kicked in because your oxygen consumption didn't go past your oxygen net need. And so you didn't get your buffering basically.
Right.
Well, you can force buffering much, much quicker. Again, that's why you see Olympians in the track. They practice their starts, high velocity, high vigorous starts, and then they get announced, they walk out. Now they're ready to roll.
I like and that.
It's basically the genesis of what Stu has said a couple times already. It's dynamic stretching and warm-ups.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to necessarily need to do that dynamic warm-ups because you're going to have a wetsuit on, you're like, uncomfortable, but when you get in the water, that swim to the buoy becomes your dynamic warm-up.
Yeah, and it's cold.
Yeah,
you know, so you kind of get that little shock, so the heart rate goes up a little higher, and then you got to get through surf. You know, so you should be swimming hard anyway.
But then once
you get, once you get through the surf, just keep on pushing. Yeah, that's great advice.
Because you're only swimming, you know, 200 meters, maybe 150 meters. So it's. But really, you got to work through the surf zone. That's gonna eat up half the distance. So you're just priming the system, man.
Yeah.
And it works every time.
Yeah, I love it.
So
that's a good one. One thing too, I forgot to mention. I was probably the best piece of advice I ever was received from a swim coach was that real common breathing issue that most non-swimmers have of popping their head up.
Yep.
One, you want to keep. You know, you're facing the water, right? So instead of popping your head up and you see both ears, you should only see one ear whenever you're breathing, right? Plus, treat your body like a screwdriver to breathe versus a seesaw.
Yeah. And right? We make sure it was your screwdriver too. Say this is your front half and back half. We don't want them to go independently. Ooh, we want the whole body.
Yep.
Right? So that's what happens. If we just take the torso, the hips, when you go to breathe, your hips rotate quickly and the feet pull apart. So we want the whole body. We want the whole body to rotate. We don't want to turn the upper body and then the feet open up and spin when you go to breathe. We don't want that. Then you just become a big water sail.
Yep.
So it's all these sort of things, folks. And again, so hopefully you guys understand, you know, there, when it comes to acquiring skill, improving human performance, you have to dissect human movement. You have to dissect your own programs. You have to dissect, you know, your timing, your frequency, all these sort of things. They're all, especially when it comes to water, because there's a pretty high population of folks going into special operations programs that aren't, you know, as kids, they grew up, you know, playing in pools, but never really learned the skill of swimming.
Right.
So
that was me.
We want you guys to learn the skill right out of it's like any other sport. We can get in the, you know, even someone that's terrible at baseball or football, you get the gross motor function of throwing, hitting, and catching. But there's a big difference between that and someone that's developed that skill over a decade or two, right?
No, absolutely.
But the beauty is adults learn very, very quickly as opposed to children. So especially if you're athletic and you've been around, get in the water. And then because athletes, specifically wrestlers and gymnasts, they have such good body awareness, kinesthetic awareness of space and time. And that still, it actually is better in the water because you constantly have water on you. You have constant feedback and proprioception, whereas in running, you're like, oh, man, I don't know if my knees or my femurs rotated in. You can't feel except for how your feet are hitting, but your feet have always hit like that. But in the water, you can feel everything.
Yep.
So it's hard for someone to go, I got to pay attention to all this. Well, that's what we're saying is when you're tired, for example, or it's a skill training day, get in the water and consciously pay attention to it. You might surprise yourself and go, man, I never felt like this. And then I'm turning. It's like, that's why it always felt weird, because I was always over-rotated or under-rotated. These are the things when you're really tired to start taking into account, because if you can identify them when you're really tired, your body will really identify them when you're wide awake.
Yeah, that's really good. Good point.
So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I would say this. So think of this pool session, you know, tired. If you're going to be tired in the pool. Think of it two ways. One, it can be at the end of a workout where you're going to, you've already run, you've already lifted, you did a lot of PT, maybe a long run, a ruck, you know, something where your hips and lower back is, you know, you can really feel that day. Get in the pool, tread water, loosen up. You know, next thing you know, you're going to hit that second wind and you're going to say, all right, I might be able to pick this up a notch, and then swim for 10 or 15 minutes. See where you are. See if you can get 1,000 meters in there, you know, in 15, you know, 16 minutes.
I think you guys are really surprised yourself if you approach, that's why you see swim practice. People get in the water and it's just not like space and time. You'll see a lot of swim coaches start their practices off with, hey guys, we're going to practice turns. We're going to practice turns. We're going to practice turns. Hey, we're going to practice starts off the block, starts off the block. Hey, we're going to start. And then what happens is it builds into this interval.
Yep.
And so treat it. So when you guys take yourself to the pool, have a really simple plan and a sticky and go, all right, I'm going to spend 10 minutes on my turns. I'm going to spend 10 minutes on maybe bobbing. I'm going to spend 10 minutes on this. And I'm going to finish with an interval of 800 at 50s. Or something.
Yeah, there you go.
General plan, and you're going to come out of that going, holy moly.
Like, yeah, I feel good.
I feel good. I feel really good. I felt fast. I felt fast the whole time. What the heck? And then maybe the next time you go in, then it becomes distance time. Hey, I'm going to try to keep a good pace for 30 minutes. Boom. Okay. Or whatever.
Yep.
Create some variety in there. So your brain isn't going, oh man, I got to swim again today. That happens so often to runners. Like, oh my God, like marathoners are like, oh my God, I got to run 14 miles a day. Oh, I got to break it up.
Yep. Hey, one thing we've been doing, Jeff, is we got into this thing called the Century Club with our local Masters swim team.
Nice.
So what that means is you got to do a minute 30 swim, right? And it depends on where your level is. You can do 100 in a minute 30. You can do 75 in a minute 30. You can do 50 in a minute 30 and give yourself 30 seconds rest if you need to, or you take 10 seconds rest. You know, it just depends. So we did 50 130s the other day, which is 75 minutes of intervals, which was a really good workout. Most of us all did 75s, and then we threw in a few hundreds in there to, you know, get us about 4,000 total. We had a couple that did all hundreds, 50 100s on a 130, and
nice. You
probably had like 5 or 6 seconds to rest each time. So that was pretty ballsy. Our next one is 75 130s.
Nice.
And then after that, in March, we're doing a 100 130.
Man.
So if you do the math, you're looking at 2.5 hours worth of swimming.
Yeah.
You know, by the time we do that. But we are building up right now to do that.
Awesome.
And it's a fun workout. And I don't have to think about distance. I don't have to count laps. You know, I'm just looking at my watch and I just go on 130.
Yeah, just
go on 130. And if I don't feel like pushing it, I just do 50s and I rest for 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wish, again, you knocked that one out of the park right there. I wish that I would have thought that this, if we could edit this and put this next thing, the next first statement is that we get so many emails of saying, oh, I can't swim. I don't know how to learn. And the answer is this, folks. If you're struggling with swimming and you, other than like you kind of reach your own limit of like, man, I'm swimming, I'm not getting better, I don't know. Almost every city has a master swim program that consists of post-collegiate swimmers or people that just grew up swimming and started teaching swimming that still want to be competitive. That is your best and cheapest resource, and both at the same time. Not it's best because it's cheapest.
Yeah.
It's cheap. And it's really good instruction if you email or stop by a master swim program, because everyone has it's masterswimming.com, and there's hundreds of, there's like four of them, master swim clubs just in Atlanta, for example.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's many.
People ask me all the time. So long and short is, if you're struggling with swimming and you need someone to teach you, look in your area. If you live in a city, If you live in a city, there is a master swim program.
Absolutely. 100%. And let me tell you what, you will have 60-year-old people kicking your ass in the pool.
Yes, you will.
Absolutely.
Been swimming for 50 years, and half of them like, man, I was an All-American at Texas. I was an All-American. Yeah, all of them are. Like, swimming is this really interesting sort of like, we're weird people. We are.
Yeah.
I was a weird guy, right? And swimmers are weird. I don't know why, but we are. So, but swimmers are good teachers typically, especially if they're in the master's program, because most of the master swimmers are probably high school swim coaches somewhere.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So they're just going to be like, yeah, just jump on in with us. And you got a bunch of people that are, you know, well-adjusted. They're not driven by ego. And and especially if you say, hey, I'm trying to join the military, whatever branch of service, they're very likely to go, oh, absolutely, man. Come jump, practice with us, and they'll help you.
And there's all kinds of levels too. I mean, you got a slow lane, you got a fast lane, and everybody in between, and you just find it, you know?
So it's a brilliant thing to do is find a master swim program.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
all right. Want to add well, that was on. Fun.
Yeah. So
good swim workout.
There we go.
Makes you want to go swimming again.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to do it tomorrow, actually. So.
All right.
All right, Stu, I appreciate it.
Cool. Good job, Jeff. Yep. We'll see you.